Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, me and Gene were talking about the three S's you got to do when you're in basic training to get, but I had to do something like that during the break. I had to go with my dog. She was hollering, raising cane, and had to do a few other things. But I made it back here to the microphone, and thank God the bitter ender himself is in here, because we would all be up a creek were he not here, because I'd be saying, because I'd be running completely out of topics to talk about. Anyway, the bitter ender is here, and he's just the bitter ender, and this is the third hour. As long as it's the Blood River Radio, as long as I'm here, but it'll be the bitter ender hour. Go ahead, bitter ender. Rock and roll tonight, brother.
Well, all right, Eddie, thank you very much. We usually have our Confederate hour, the third hour, but tonight I'd been absent a couple of weeks. I'd been on assignment. I've been to the Southern National Congress meeting down near Columbia, Tennessee, and that organization's headed up by David Jones. That was two weekends ago. And then last weekend, I went to Jared Taylor's American Renaissance Conference at Montgomery Bell State Park over near Dixon, Tennessee. And I thought we'd give our listeners just a brief summary of those two meetings and some of the speakers that they had at both of those meetings. And really, really good individuals to listen to. I enjoy going and taking a lot of notes and just staying in the background and let these people that really know what they're talking about have the forum, of course, and learn a lot from them. So the first one we want to talk about was 2 weeks ago, the Southern National Congress. And the whole point is of that and the League of the South, which has had to change its name from Lawfare, and the Southern Independence Association, all these organizations believe that the South would be much better off if we had our own country. I think the general theme of all of them is that we're at a point in this country that it is so divided, there is no compromise between the left and the conservatives or traditionalists in this country and what we believe in. And they hate us, and we certainly don't care for them. And there's really not any area of compromise in between the two ideologies of the right and the left. So it might be just better off to say, okay, it was a good experiment. Empires only last about 250 years, and we've run our course. I mean, why might as well just split up? And then that book, National Divorce, that Thomas Wood Jr. came out with, said pretty much the same thing. Rather than violence, why not just split, since we have irreconcilable differences? And he gave a lot of points of what we could do. But anyway, Southern National Congress said the states need to protect themselves. They need to start having state banks and no national digital currency that's run through the Federal Reserve. If they have a digital currency that is imposed on the entire country, just like they can now, they can raise or lower interest rates or print money or increase this digital currency at their own choosing. And then we just stuck holding the book, holding the bag, the empty bag. They were talking about the President Trump's victory. And the one thing they cautioned against, they said the Trump victory may cause apathy. They would create a less desire for secession, but that's not the case. Trump's going to be there for 4 years. And what's going to happen after that? And what if he is unable through Congress or whatever to carry out a lot of the things that he promised in the run-up to the election? Another thing that they brought up was an example of the failures of the federal government. And one of the worst was the FEMA response to the severe flooding over in western North Carolina. And I saw a thing on the news today on Fox News about they've gotten snow up there in the mountains. And we've had cold weather here in Middle Tennessee, but up in the higher elevations, they've got snow. And these people are still living in tents. They've got these little, like, charcoal burners in these things to try to stay warm. Mm-hmm. The federal government has done absolutely nothing to help these people out, and they can't. They don't have the money because they've spent all their FEMA money on paying for these five-star hotels for these illegals. And now we have American citizens that have children that are they can't get water. They have no toilet facilities. The snow, it's supposed to be 28 degrees tonight in some of these small towns up in the mountains in western North Carolina. And these people are huddled up in these makeshift tents in cars, if the cars are left and they hadn't been washed downstream. And why in the world can't the drooling idiot in the White House that's commander-in-chief send Army units over from Fort Bragg in North Carolina, or the Marines, the 2nd Marine Division over at Camp Lejeune on the coast? They've got generators. They've got all sorts of, combat facilities that they could use there to help feed these people, to help get water to them. I mean, I both know those water buffaloes, those big tanks, the two-wheel things that they pull behind a Jeep or a truck. They could provide water for them.
Yep.
And why don't they use the military? Why do we have to spend all of our money on that should be going to our military here and using our military here? Why do we have to send it to Ukraine and Israel to fight their wars for them? How about fighting a war for us along the border, or help these people out in North Carolina and Upper East Tennessee that are really in a bad shape now that this cold snap has gone through there? But anyway, it's just a typical government overreach in what they can't do. We brought up something about FEMA, and I would urge our listeners to go online and get American Renaissance October the 4th. And every week they have different podcasts. Jerry Taylor, who's head of American Renaissance, always has the first one, commentary on what's going on in the news and race relationships and disasters and so forth. And this one is a good one that ties in with this FEMA disaster. American Renaissance, October the 4th, and the title of this podcast is Whitey is Last in Line. Equity means everyone else comes first. And it comes from FEMA's own documents. This is not a critical tirade by somebody on the far right or a conspiracy theory. They go through there and they quote and have yellow outlines or overlays on the documents of FEMA that says they're not going to take care of white people. They're going to take care of those who have been had unequal representation in the past. So it doesn't matter what the current hurricane did. If they were slaves 400 years ago, they're going to take care of these black people or someone else before they're going to take care of the people that were hit by this hurricane back in September then. So, that's another reason for the South to get out of the national government, if that's the policies they're going to use, and ignore the white people that need the help, that are freezing up there in those mountains. And they all worried about taking care of the illegals coming in here, or minorities, or diversity, equity, and inclusion. Then why do we want to be a part of that? That was one of the main things. Another thing that they brought up, they said that Trump assassination attempt was simply a show by the government that they can take out anybody anytime they want to. And if they can get rid of Trump, they can certainly come after one of us and take us out. Let's see, some of the other things they were talking about. Oh, they said the federal government is like a second marriage. It's based on hope over experience. So that was a great line. I forgot who came up with that, but I thought that was a great line. Yeah, the federal government is like a second marriage. It's hope over experience. Experience tells you one thing, but you hope the second time around it'll be better. And we keep hoping the federal government is going to get its act together, but don't really count on it. Another thing that the government has done is this First Amendment censorship. How they have gotten to these large companies like Google and like all the other platforms, and the government doesn't censor what you say. No, they don't. But they put the pressure on these platforms, online platforms and so forth, to censor things out. And they're really idiots that run these things. And they have their left-wing political agenda and They don't want anything on there. And we were talking about American Renaissance. They listed all the things they've been banned from, PayPal and all the online sites that they have to fight their way through to get back on and even put their podcast out. I know. Well, just to give an example of how goofy some of these people are. And of course, most of them are run from the left coast. We were going to have a turkey shoot, or we do have. Well, I'll tell that after the break. And this is an example of what lunacy runs from the left coast.
Time goes so fast. I can't believe we already burned a quarter, Jim. Be right back.
That's all right.
We'll listen to the old Bitter Ender.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Dear Blood River Hill family, I'm just telling old Bitter Ender during the break that I'm so glad that he's back here to do his usual masterful job. It's nice, not the Confederate history it usually is, but he's bringing us other information from other great sources. So go ahead, Bitter Ender, carry on, brother.
Well, before the break, we were talking about censorship of the all these platforms that you have out here and online discussions and things like that, and the government says, oh, we don't do it. They turn it over to these goofballs out on the left coast, Google and whatever that they have, and at least Mr. Musk has gotten part of it back and turned it into X and getting some things back out again. But just give you an example of how goofy they are. We do have a turkey shoot out at the Forest Home in the fall. And they advertised it, put it online, the date and what time it started, and the 20-gauge and the price for entering and things like that. Well, it got kicked off. The person who put it on got kicked off of, I've forgotten what online thing it was now. But anyway, they kicked him off and they told him, we don't believe in cruelty to animals. And we had to get back to him and say, no. You don't shoot live turkeys. You have 15 people shooting at a paper target, and the person that gets close each round wins a turkey. The turkey is already dead. It's been cleaned, it's frozen, and it's wrapped up in plastic that says Butterball or Kroger. So no, you do not shoot live turkeys. But that's just an example of what you have to deal with out there. So that was
I'll tell you, we shoot puppies.
Oh, man. Well, I've heard of the thing. I was down there in Bartlett Tuesday night and spoke to one of the SCV camps there, DeWitt Smith Job Camp. And the fellow I was with was telling me they had three rescue dogs that they'd gotten. And they said that the blacks are so incompetent and so inconsiderate, they will not have their dogs spayed or neutered. And they let them just run in packs like wild animals all across Memphis and Shelby County. He said that this the place there where they got their dogs rescued out of there, but they said they have to kill about 2,200 to 2,500 dogs a year because they're just wild animals. They're feral animals that these blacks breed, yes. Let them breed, don't do anything about it, and they're out hunting for food. They have to fight for their survival. You can't adopt them out. You can't have dogs like that, full-grown dogs like that around your children. They would attack your children.
No.
So it's just one more example of the difference in culture that, you know, whites are all told, you know, spay and neuter your pets so they don't reproduce and you have litters of unwanted animals. But the blacks just let them go. And most of them are pit bulls. They think that's great to have a big, mean, tough dog.
Yes.
But they don't take care of them. And they're running wild all over Memphis and Shelby County. So they just have to round them up and destroy them, put them to sleep. And even when they have a litter, when they have them, they have to kill the entire litter because they can't do anything with them. There are not enough people to adopt them. So anyway, that's kind of off the subject, but that's the mentality of the left.
Point, Gene, I like to say, and I ride, as you well know, I ride my bike. I don't have a lot of smarts. I ride my bike through the young people call it the hood. I call it the slums, down to the Mississippi River 2 or 3 days a week. And I have a 6-inch Gerber Guardian taped to my bike. I can whip it out in a New York minute just for that situation. And I tell you, that sucker is so sharp. When I worked at St. Francis Hospital, like an idiot, I had it in the back of my overalls, and I had some beagles out running beagles. I reached back to get it. I was trying to put it in the holster, and it was so sharp, it stuck in my back. Missed my kidney by about a half an inch. I had to go to St. Francis to get it sewed up. And I was afraid. I was felt like such an idiot. I wanted to tell him I had been mugged or something. I didn't want to tell him I stabbed my own damn self. But anyway, that's why I carry that for those feral dogs and also other feral animals that we were familiar
well, yes,
with. But anyway,
yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you so much there, brother.
They ought to put down 2,500 people a year that breed these animals and cause the problem. Go back to the source. Don't take it out on the poor animals.
Yes. Absolutely.
Jared Taylor at the American Renaissance Conference, Jared Taylor had the opening speech on Friday night called How We Must Choose and What He Need to Do. Why can't we have a home for white people? Take control away from people. They're trying today to take control away from people who built this country. And the Civil Rights Act will not be repealed, even with Trump in there. The race IQ will not increase. Can Trumpism stop anti-white attacks? And the U.S. of the 1950s is not going to be coming back. And our children do not deserve to grow up in a country that hates them. And that's what they're saying. And they're looking at the military today. They want this DEI military, you know, and all kind of transgenders and junk in the military. And he said, but Southerners traditionally have been most likely to risk their lives for the Yankee flag. And Trump said we will make America great again, but will America be white again? That's the whole question. If the U.S. can't be our home, then will it collapse? And whites need to stand shoulder to shoulder with other white nations. And how should we work at this? Well, he suggested racial separation and repeal the Civil Rights Act of 1964, or 65, whatever it was. We cannot become a minority in this country. Nobody is going to pass a Civil Rights Act for white people. And separation, once again, he went back to separation. And you talk about it, oh, it's so radical. We can't do that. We can't do that. Well, look at our history. Our whole history is built on separation. The Pilgrims, they separated from the Church of England to come over here. The Revolution, we separated from the mother country. the war for Southern independence. All we wanted was to leave, and they wouldn't let us do that. You look at the going west, the wagon trains going west, they separated from the eastern population. So they think Jared said that separation is the best and least violent solution. And you look at it this way, even liberals arrange their lives and their locations where they live behind these gated communities to avoid blacks. That's why they live there. So we need local autonomy and nullification of federal laws. In national polls, about 23% of the entire population favors secession. Now, some states for different reasons, California wants to get away from the evil conservatives, and we want to get away from the evil liberals. So it doesn't matter what the reason is. That's fine. Let California go their way and let the Southeast, and looking at the map from the last election, all the central part of the country, let them go their way. And let the Northeast and California have their little liberal enclaves. He's talking about having to build white communities where children can grow up and be proud to be white. And that's what they've had to do in South Africa. The whites have had to move out of these towns and get away from these Johannesburg, Cape Town, and all the towns that are run by the blacks, and build these settlements out in the countryside. That we must have a home that's ours and ours alone, like the Amish. Build our own communities. And the Amish do just fine with that, and they have very little contact with the federal government or what they have. So that was Jared Taylor. Another person that spoke was Gregory Hood, the last election and the last American. And Will Trump, his question was, will Trump follow through on his election promises? American people hopefully now are not suffering from media domination like they were before the election. We can't control the media information, so we must censor, so they must censor the alternative media, and that's what they try to do, keep a lot of these media sites off the air. People are going to jail for alternative media posts in Europe and Australia. You can post things as long as you agree with the regime. But if you question the regime, they'll throw you in jail there. Gregory Hood believed that successful movements must deliver small victories after small victories after small victories. We're not going to be able to change the whole atmosphere or the whole political spectrum of this country at one time. Now, the election, hopefully, back the first of the month, will change a lot of that. And with the cabinet members that Mr. Trump's putting in there, hopefully they will cut down on some of this bureaucracy. We'll wait and see. And politics is actually the substitute for war, or vice versa. Kamala Harris made a stand for woke political combat. Exactly. That's what it was. That's what we were going for. Tax dollar, church donations, and large corporations founded the left wing and pay for the left wing groups and left wing power, and that's where it comes from. So there's no solution apart from separation of power, which power means patronage, financing, and those two things are what give groups their power. So that was Gregory Hood. Some of his talks. Another person that had, oh, this is a great one. They had a professor, a lady professor from Pennsylvania University in their law school. And it's Amy Wax. And we'll get back to Professor Wax after the break.
Be right back, folks. Hang on to your seat.
Listening to Liberty News Radio. all on our bodies. No way around it. Whether it's sitting hours on end at your computer or working a physical job, over time your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain, Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. The difference? Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good. And it's 100% drug-free. If the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as so many others have. Turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. When you feel good, it's amazing how much more you get out of life. So visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95. While we can't stop aging, not yet, we can stop pain. Turn back the clock with Relief Factor.
Emotions riding very high. Police in a Massachusetts town now blaming a mix-up for the fatal shooting of a little pet dog. Correspondent Norman Hall has the latest on that story.
Police in Northridge, Massachusetts say an animal control officer shot and killed a pet dog after receiving a report of a coyote. The dog's owner, Kirk Rumford, says his pet was a year-old husky named Odin.
My dog, if anything, looks like a wolf, and there's no wolves in Massachusetts.
Rumford says Odin was a lovable klutz.
He was just cute and he loved everybody.
But Northridge Chief Timothy LaBrie says the animal control officer felt threatened.
When he got within 10 yards, he shot and killed it, and then upon approaching it learned that it had a collar on, a shock collar and a flea collar, so he obviously, that's when he said, oh geez.
LaBrie says the pet should have been on a leash. The officer won't be disciplined. I'm Norman Hall.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Correspondent Jackie Quinn says it's happening again. More than a dozen people have been sickened by an E. coli poisoning linked apparently to recalled ground beef.
U.S. health officials say the outbreak began in Minnesota after state officials reported multiple illnesses and found that a sample of ground beef tested positive for a strain of E. coli. Nearly 170,000 pounds of the ground meat produced by Wolverine Packing Company in Detroit have now been recalled nationwide. The Department of Agriculture says the beef was shipped to restaurants. And even though the expiration date was last week, there are concerns the product might still be in restaurant freezers. This strain of E. coli is potentially deadly. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Wall Street Friday ending on an up note. The Dow gained 426 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
The Epoch Times. NewYorkTimes.com.
The Ennis is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to get right back to the old bitter ender. He went to those two conferences. He's coming back to make a full report and seeing if he heard anything. And we were just talking about one thing that interests me is he asking anybody talk about state banks. And he said they did. And I know I'm not into Bitcoin, but it's not, according to what I've heard, it's not real bad. But one of the things the bitter ender is going to talk about tonight, and one thing, we used to have a fella come on the radio with T12, with TPC, I wish I could remember that professor's name. If anybody can remember it, let me know. He wrote a series. He wrote a whole volume of books called Constitutional Militia of the Several States. I'll think about his name in a minute. I'll think of his name. Anyway, go ahead, Bitter Ender. I'm sorry I interrupted you that much, buddy.
No, that's fine. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do is throw ideas out for people to get some information for them. One of the other speakers at the American Renaissance Conference was Amy Wax, and she still is hanging in there as a professor at Pennsylvania University, and they have tried every way possible to get her fired, get her thrown out, but her classes are so good, there's a waiting list of students to get into her classes. Controlling factor at Pennsylvania University there in Philadelphia. They're the ones that are trying to get rid of the dean and the chancellor of the college and all of them, because they take heat from the protesters, the usual suspects that don't like what she has to say. And she won't be quiet and she won't back down to them. So they try to go behind her back and get the university, the board of directors or whatever they call them to get her fired. So, anyway, one of her comments or her topic of her quote was, "Can America handle race realism?" And race realism is used by the liberal media as a derogatory term, but she talks about it in giving real facts about the differences between races. There's a wide reluctance to admit that there are race differences. For instance, in crime, IQ, work ethic, family structure, and the single-parent families. So it's there. Those are facts. You can't deny the facts, but people don't want you to tell the facts. The left worships DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, and it's a delusion for the liberal power structure. Whatever the cause of race inequality, she said only blacks can fix it. It can't be passed on whitey as his fault, but not whites, who they say cause racial inequality. But blacks need to step up and fix their own problems that they've created. The low intelligence, the poor self-control, they all throw that off as fault of whites. Race realism will demonize blacks or demoralize blacks. Once that theory is accepted in the media, my ability must be what I used to work with. Everybody's born with certain abilities and certain inabilities, so you have to adjust to what your abilities are. And I know I heard Sam Francis, but from Atlanta talking about that, and he was saying that they say that all men are created equal. That's not true. He said he didn't want that. Sam Dixon was saying he didn't want that at all. We're not all equal. He said if he got on an airplane and the pilot was equal to him, the plane would crash before it got to the end of the runway. So he doesn't want everybody being equal. There are certain people with certain talents, and they need to be the ones that are responsible and in responsible position. She talks about corporative selection and what that means, the efficiency in jobs, career roles, but DEI undermines all of these, that it puts people in positions that they're totally unqualified for. And DEI and denying race realism encourages government control. The government wants to try to step in and make everybody equal, which will never happen. You can't do that. It's a suppression of facts, censorship, and it suppresses the very essence of, it supports the very essence of a tyranny, that the government's going to control how you think and how you speak and what you can do. She said academia has completely been captured by the woke dictatorship. Even in the scientific fields, it has gone woke. Now, it used to be that colleges were head of all this liberal nonsense, but now it's gone from K through 12 in education. And K through 12 education is nothing but indoctrination now. And it's people are already a mess at 20 years old and can't think for themselves and think that their life revolves around the government taking care of them. So that was Amy Wax. Oh, and one other thing she said, all the threats, and they would have a person would speak, would have a 45-minute time to speak, and then the last 15 minutes they would have a microphone sitting out at the back of the room, and people could get up and ask questions. And one of the questions for Professor Wax was, ma'am, have you ever been threatened when you were there with violence or even death threats? And she said, oh, yeah, I get those all the time. And she said the administration of Pennsylvania University wouldn't do a thing about it. So she went to the campus police and told them what was happening and the threats she was getting and everything. And the campus police said, don't worry, ma'am, we'll take care of you. Anywhere you want to go on campus, we'll give you a guard and armed escort to take you from building to building or wherever you need to go on campus. So the police, the campus police would help her out, but the administration wouldn't do a thing. And that's usually the way it is. A lot of these left-wing nut schools, that the way they operate. So I wanted to give you a couple of other people that were there. That was Sam. There's one in particular I wanted to go through. This fellow right here, yeah. His name was, or is, Martin Sellner. And he talked about re-immigration. Now, he's an Austrian, and he couldn't come over here to speak at this conference because the United States, the land of the free and the home of the brave and the Constitution and the First Amendment and all that holy horse crap that the government doesn't believe in, they would not grant him a visa to come to this country. But to talk about immigration or establishing a place for white people. He's blocked from entering the UK, Germany. His name is Martin Sellner, S-E-L-L-N-E-R. He's from Austria, and he had to give a video conference to the meeting on last Saturday morning. So he's blocked from coming to the UK, Germany, Canada, or the U.S. If immigration can be done, or re-immigration can be done, or if immigration can be done, then re-immigration is possible. The communists, they teach people to hate themselves and their history, and then they can easily be reprogrammed into communism, and that's basically what it is. He said that liberals have control of the sails, but they cannot control the wind. And we must be the wind against the politicians and the woke left. He's saying that if something doesn't change, the United States will become the 34th Spanish-speaking country in the Western world. And there are only two countries, that the United States and Canada, that are not Spanish-speaking countries in the Western hemisphere. And if the U.S. doesn't get their immigration act together, we'll be the 34th. Spanish-speaking country in the Western world. Mass immigration causes poverty, destroys employment in every country where it's been tried. And these people must be taught or helped or encouraged to build up their own country. Why do they have to come into here or our country or into Europe and take over their country and destroy the host country and turn it into the disaster that they ran away from? And he had a really funny quip. He told us this. He said, you know, the old thing we said, heard, feed a man a fish and you feed him for only one day, but deport him and you never have to feed him again, ever. So, and one of the things they came up with, they said in Tennessee, 1.9 million people voted for Trump. And he said, a lot of the things that this woke culture has done to us, it has destroyed the health of people in this country. This is a scientific fact that they don't want to tell you about. They said that testosterone rates are going down from the food that the government gives us or that we're using. 20-year-olds now have a testosterone rate of 40-year-olds. So there. After the break.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll cover that more after the break, plus I have the big question. Be right back, folks.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Dear Blood River Radio audience, Dr. Edwin Vera, professor of law from Harvard University. I was trying to mention, remember earlier, Old Biscuit sent that in to me. It was Professor Edwin Vera. Of all the people, you would never think in a million years a professor of law with dual degrees, one of the degrees from Harvard Law School, would be one of us. He wrote a whole series of the constitutional militia of the several states. I used to have a couple of those volumes. What happened to them, I'll never know. I've had to move my office several times, and I lose stuff. And golly, I was telling Gene, I need to start trying to sell my books again. But anyway, Gene, I got to ask the big question for you, buddy.
Yo.
Did anybody at the Ayn Rand conference ever mention the Jew? Did anybody ever name the Jew as being the number one problem? You mentioned any of these problems you can talk about.
A few
of
them did.
The money system, the immigration system.
Yep.
They actually allowed
them
to do that?
The whole thing was follow the money trail. And one of them even mentioned that the Rothschilds bailed Trump out when one of his casinos went bankrupt. And so that may be one of the reasons that he has been such a big supporter of Israel and had the capital move from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And we may not expect him to do much as far as cutting back on the Israeli influence in Congress or Washington. So that may be one thing that Trump may not help us out on for sure. So, yeah, that did come up.
I bet you Jared didn't like that, but You know, Jared, we talked about this last week. Jared Taylor, matter of fact, Mr. Buddy himself told me when Earth Sundell's Whittle was at Montgomery Bell some time ago, Mr. Buddy said that Jared Taylor would not let her put up a booth.
No.
To try, you know, I guess Ernst Stillenberg, and he will not allow you to talk about the Jewish problem. That's the one problem I have.
Well, the main topic of anybody that spoke, but a couple of them kind of mentioned it as a side light or a side comment there about where a lot of these problems come from. So, anyhow.
Well, then we'll throw you off too much, but.
No, that's fine.
Hoping I get out of order, but I was interested in the state bank, I'm getting so senile, I guess. I can't remember what I was talking. We talked so much during the break. Did I mention anything about Bitcoin on the air? I know, but, you know, state banks. In fact, Dr. Edward Vero was heavy into this with another fellow in the state banks with gold and silver, but that's way before they hit Bitcoin. Did anybody mention that, Gene?
Mention him or anything like that. That was just one thing that they talked about at that Southern National Congress about trying to wean ourselves away from the federal government and having so much dependency on them for the currency and everything that we do. And that's one of the arguments that people throw out against secession. Well, what are we going to do about all the money we get from the federal government? Well, if we seceded and weren't part of the federal government, we wouldn't be paying anything to the federal government. We pay in a lot more than what we get back. So why can't the states take care of whatever the federal government was doing? Instead of paying a federal income tax, you could pay a state income tax and let it stay in Tennessee or stay in Georgia or stay in Oklahoma and not have to ship it off to Washington so they could use the money to pay for illegals or pay for some screwball, idiotic, lefty commie government that they have in California or Massachusetts or someplace like that. I saw the thing on Fox the other day that governor of Massachusetts said they're not going to let Trump send the ICE agents into Massachusetts and round up these illegal criminals. So I guess she's saying,
well, great, I said, well, you know what?
If they want to go somewhere and kill somebody, go to Massachusetts then, since they're not going to do anything about it.
Well, matter of fact, they need to send them all to Massachusetts. They certainly do. And, you know, Gene, another side kind of, I don't want to throw you off too much, but ain't nothing changed because I know, Gene, you told on your classes, you've instructed the people that the Lincoln's War was not waged because of slavery, because the South was with 75% of the
federal budget.
Yankees had. And it ain't changed, has it, Gene?
No, and they can't let the South go because they need the money. And they needed it in 1861. That's why Lincoln sent an army into the South to force us at gunpoint back into the evil empire. And they always yap and whine about, oh, democracy, one person, one vote. Oh, we have to vote on this. This is a democracy. Well, the South was democratic. They voted to leave the Union. And they didn't have an armed revolt. They didn't storm, the Southerners didn't storm the Bastille. They didn't murder the Tsar, his wife, and all their children. Heck, we didn't even dump tea in the harbor. We just said, we've had enough of this. And you send crazy people down here to kill us, and you take our money, and you hate us, and we don't care a flying flip for you either. So why not just separate? You have whatever kind of government you want with Lincoln and the Republicans in the North, and we'll have our own government in the South. But Lincoln wasn't going to allow that because he actually said, well, what will happen to my tariffs? Because, in other words, what will happen to my taxes? How is he going to keep the federal government in operation without the tariffs and taxes on Southern imports? And just like you said, the South is paying about 75% of the federal budget every year. So, you know, without the South, the federal government was going to go bankrupt. Or they would have to impose really heavy taxes on the businesses in the North, and they weren't going to stand for that. They had a cushy deal to have all of their products protected by sticking high tariffs on the South. And Mr. Trump's talking about raising tariffs now, but sometimes that works to the detriment of the people in this country. So I understand what they're trying to do is force businesses back into the United States to get cheap labor in China, where all they'd have to do is pay people over there a bowl of rice a day to work in these factories, and they can undercut American workers. But, you know, like our war for independence in 1861, tariffs were one of the, and taxes were one of the main reasons for the war. So what goes around comes around, I guess. So one other person, while we still have time on our last segment, I'd like to talk about Sam Dixon. He has been at all 21 of the American Renaissance conferences, and his topic that he talked on, the title of his speech was, or talk was, Whitey on the Psychiatrist's Couch. And he's talking about psychological feeling for the liberals is more important than material items. And the white liberals are psychologically weak. They just don't have, they can't look at something, a situation, and say, well, this isn't going to work because this, this, and this has happened. We know it doesn't. They have psychological problems. The blacks share a common culture, but whites are not psychologically strong enough to share a common culture. And white nations have different psychologies. The Anglo-Saxons set the form of Western civilizations, and the English Channel and the Atlantic Ocean kind of babied the Anglo-Saxons, where they could talk about things like democracy and things like one man, one vote, and things like that, where other nations in Europe and Asia were constantly at each other's throat. And you have a lot of the whites that have this moral principle, an obsession with freedom. A lot of the monuments said that, you know, to soldiers that died up north and south and in other wars as well, they died for freedom. Well, that doesn't happen in other countries. In Germany or France, they say they died for the fatherland. They died for the country, but not these abstract ideas about freedom or democracy. The U.S. always, or said they fought wars for moral principles. Now, they didn't always do
blood
that.
Blood and soul. That's what they,
yeah. The first fatal error, was allowing persons to come here unrestricted. That brought in a lot of ideas that undermined that Anglo-Saxon principle. These people abandoned their homelands. They were highly individualistic and materialistic. And the second mistake they said was for fighting against Britain, that all rights that we had came from the British, from the Magna Carta and so forth. Should have been against Britain and thus against Europe as well. Americans have settled here for about 400 years, more or less, but Europeans, their countries have been there for thousands of years. So we're relatively new kids on the block in a lot of the philosophies that we've come up with. And we wouldn't want to throw them away, but it doesn't stand the test of time somewhere. well, a couple of other things he talked about. Our enemies create imaginary reasoning to destroy our civilization and take the country apart from the inside. People with higher education are more susceptible to political fraud. They get these liberal ideas and they can't master that in the real world. So there were two good, really good conferences. I enjoyed listening to a lot of the people they had, learned a lot. And next week we will get back to our Confederate history on the third hour, Eddie. Thank you very much.
Well, they were missing one big speaker. That should have been you, Bitterender. You just stole the show, son. Well, listen, thank you for coming on tonight, Bitterender. And I'm looking forward to getting back to Confederate history next week, brother. And thanks again for coming on. And thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and all of our listeners. Hope you have a good weekend.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you so much. Same to you, Gene. And thank you, Miss Lizzie. Thank you, Paul and Monica, and thank you for Ben and Fred for coming on, and thank you, Blood River Radio family, for listening to us, and we'll see you same time, same place, next Saturday.